The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome to Week 10, K4Wins.com. K4Wins.com. It's the last show before the first CFP. Is it a cocktail party this year, or is it just plain going home with a big, fat, ugly girl at 3 o'clock in the morning? I'm going to say it's the latter in that part. We have a number 3 versus a number 4. Alabama's got the bye week. He's Case Kiefer, chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun. He's fantastic. Gives you plays all the time in the starting lineup and right here in K4Wins. And then he's killing it. Kip Kiefer, of course, is popping, proud at it. Executive director of the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. He does fantastic work. Kai Gregory has been playing both sides for years and years and years. He's a chief guy when it comes to, of course, handicapping. I'm Tony Curry. Worked at ESPN. Been doing sports radio now for 30 years. This is K4Wins. Gentlemen, how are we doing? Everything good?
Yeah, let's tee it up.
Let's make some money, baby. It's time to get into it. Let's get back to last week real quick and see how we're doing. I know we were going into a 62% clip. How did we finish up last week, Kai?
We were a little bit under 62% going into last weekend, but we went 15-11 over the weekend, so not the greatest weekend ever. But still, it actually got our percentage up right at 62% now. 169, 106, you know, as of today. Going into the weekend with, you know, I mean, how many freaking games are there this weekend that we could talk about? Good grief. I mean, even starting tonight, it's crazy.
I would take plus 69 units. That's pretty good. Anytime you're 69 games above 500, it's pretty good stuff. There are a lot of great games. Of course, Alabama has the bye week. We do like to keep a little local here because not only do we have the Las Vegas contingency, find out where the numbers are going there, but obviously the three of us are from the Birmingham area. But let's look at that Auburn-Vandy game. I think that's just really, really interesting. When was the last time Vanderbilt was just a single-digit dog? And it's a pretty amazing game. The Auburn Tigers, of course, playing for their playoff lives, not in the playoffs, but just playing bowls. I don't even know if it's a possibility anymore, but they're giving up 6 points. So you guys got anything on this Auburn Vanderbilt game? Case, let's go with you first.
Smash spot for me. One of my biggest bets of the week. It unfortunately has moved now, but I still think there's value. I slammed Auburn -6. I thought that was a bad number. If you just caught any of the Vanderbilt game, you saw at the end, I mean, number one, the score is extremely misleading last week, 27-24. Never at any point did I feel like the Commodores had any chance to win. They gained barely 4 yards per play. I mean, credit to them. That's the type of team they are, that they just keep coming, that they don't quit. So I love watching them. But then at the end of the game, Diego Pavia is limping. They say this week he's extremely banged up and he's going to give it a go. If he's not 100%, I think Auburn's trending in the right direction. I think they finally kind of figure out who they were. I gave them out money line last week. I saw there's a ton of Auburn money this morning. It looks like up to 8 in some spots, 7.5. I wouldn't go much higher, but like I said, Auburn -6 is one of my biggest bets of the week. And I'd be pretty surprised if Vanderbilt gave him a scare here.
I'm loving Auburn too. It's one of my biggest plays of the week as well. Auburn 17-8 as a single digit home favorite since 2005. And I always look at turnovers. I know the plus and minus turnover ratio thing, but whenever I see a team, the Bengals did this to me a couple of years ago where they ran through the conference. And of course they were like plus 16 at the end of the year. And of course they went to the Super Bowl. But again, it's a game by game process. But when some teams get the turnover battle won, it really kind of skews the numbers a little bit because it's giving you extra possessions. Right now, Vanderbilt's plus 5, Auburn's -7 on the year. They're turning the football over, period. And I mean, that's something you can teach. That's something you can get better at. If Auburn's just about 4 or 5 plays away from being 6-2. So, I mean, and I know Vanderbilt's have a fantastic season. They've got their bowl eligibility all wrapped up, but nothing. And I think the Auburn Tigers are going to get rich on this game, and I think they win by 14. Kai, what do you think?
You know, somebody in Vegas knows something more than me when a 3-5 team is favored over a 5-3 team. And, you know, now, like I said, it's up to 8. I thought Auburn did look much better last weekend, you know, without a shadow of a doubt. And if Jacquez Hunter touches the ball 35 times, you know, I like that. I think they really need to pound it just like they did last week. You know, you got to remember, though, Pavia beat Hugh Freeze when Hugh Freeze was at Liberty. He beat Auburn last year when he was with New Mexico State. He's already beat Alabama this year. So he's had some success here in the state. And it'd be a really bad look, I think, for Auburn if they were to lose this game at home. But at the same time, you go, well, it's the Vandy team that beat Alabama. And I'm pretty sure they're going to hang the next 10 years on that win. So, you know, I'm not as confident that in Auburn as that. I don't think I could lay 8. You know, I can understand 6. I don't think I could lay 8. And if Pavia is 100%, I love Vandy at 8. But it's not a game that I'm going to play. I'm just saying I love it at that. It's not a game that I'm going to play at all.
Kip, you wore a damn eagle?
Well, no, but I can say that Auburn is really poised for a better trajectory here at the end of the year, but they do have some things going against them. The dynamic duo of Hugh Freeze and Peyton Thorne, they can find a way to screw up any game and snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. So I'm never going to be really confident, but I do think everything's trending in this direction that Auburn should win this game. If it's up to more than a touchdown, that's disturbing to me, learning that this morning. I don't think that I would be feeling very good about giving 8 points, but we'll see what happens in the next 24 hours. I do think Diego Pavia, it's kind of like Crazy Horse coming back to Little Big Horn to get a little bit more, because what that massacre last year there was legendary. It was a week before the Iron Bowl. They came in and just blew Auburn out at home. That still lingering image is pretty powerful as well. But if he's banged up, Vanderbilt has overachieved like crazy. They're due to have a crash landing somewhere. So I would certainly lean Auburn, and I expect Auburn to play pretty well down the stretch here as they've got a few things fixed. But boy, I wouldn't be confident giving 8 points.
K4wins.com, K4wins.com. It's a free site. Check it out. Of course, all of our plays are up there. We'll have our best bets. Some dogs coming up at the end of the show. Kip, I want to keep it with you. We were doing the starting lineup, and both of us, as our dog of the week, had those South Carolina Gamecocks plus the 2.5 against A&M. Of course, they're coming off the bye. They lost by 3 to LSU. They lost by 2 to Alabama. And everyone thinks that South Carolina is in a really good spot here. But unfortunately, everybody's kind of feeling the same way. You still digging that plus 2.5?
I mean, I have to. South Carolina is a team that in the last two games that we've seen them really outplayed Alabama, had every opportunity to win that game and let it slip away. I still am haunted by their 2-point call, the receiver was open. That could have put them ahead, but Alabama did the right thing and got a lot of pressure right away, and the kid made a bad throw. Then they got the onside kick and can't move it for one first down to even have a shot at a field goal. They go backwards. I mean, that's the ultimate self-destruction. They had every chance to win that game and probably should have won it. And then when they went to Oklahoma, and albeit I'll concede Oklahoma is terrible, I have declared them the second worst team in the SEC. When people try to tell me the Big Ten's comparable, I say Oklahoma is the 15th best team in the SEC. They would be probably in the 500 plus range in the Big Ten. So with that being said, what South Carolina did to go in and create a couple of early turnovers and just blow them out in Norman their last game, they've had a bye week to get healthier. A&M's coming off an emotional win against LSU where they looked awful for 3.5 quarters until they put Marcel Reed in, and Brian Kelly and Blake Baker had no answer to the changeup, and the fourth quarter of that game just was ridiculous. LSU was like they suddenly were blindfolded. I still don't know how legitimate Texas A&M is offensively. I think their defense is really good, but I don't think if Marcel Reed is the quarterback with the guys on the front line that South Carolina, particularly the two defensive ends, I don't think Marcel Reed's going to terrorize them, and I'm sure they're going to be prepared. So I just think the Gamecocks at home at night, Texas A&M has got all the pressure on their shoulders now because now they're the standard bearer in the league, which nobody saw coming. This is just shapes up to me as a classic upset scenario.
Jimbo Fisher's got to be scratching his head right now as he's doing network television going, why couldn't I have had that? A&M has not really played a good defense. So since week one, when they took on Notre Dame earlier in the season, and here comes South Carolina, probably one of the better defenses they played. Kai, what do you think?
Well, in the interest of time, I'll just say I disagree and I like A&M.
Okay. There you go. Case, another number, 12-5-1. 12-5-1 against the spread. The Gamecocks are at home versus top 10 teams since 2005. Man, when they play top 10 teams at home, they're really, really good. What do you think?
A couple things. Well, yeah, you guys shouldn't be worried that everyone is on South Carolina anymore, as you heard, Kai. And This morning, we've seen a lot of A&M money, actually. So don't bet 2.5. I'm going to get on my usually annoying pulpit because the margins are so slim. If you're taking bad numbers, you're going to lose. There's hardly any 2.5s left. It's threes, mostly some 3.5s. Yeah. 3.5 is where I bet it. I'm actually with you guys. I really like South Carolina on this game. I think the spot sets up really well for them. Like you said, coming off a bye. I mean, this whole quarterback flipping act, catch the other team offside, unprepared, I guess I'm trying to say. Sorry, it's early here. I'm still waking up. I feel like that's not going to work against South Carolina. I mean, this defense has just been off the charts efficiency-wise, no matter what you look at. Their defensive line is just swallowing up everyone. Texas A&M has a few offensive line injuries. I like the spot. I like it numbers-wise. I'm always a little bit worried about these Friday moves because there's some really informed money shaping the market at this point. So someone is with Kai and like Texas A&M out there. It's certainly not me, though. I like South Carolina to win out right here.
K4wins.com, K4wins.com, free site. Keep it right there, Case. It's hard to believe you get a 3-4 matchup. This is the game of the week. And one team's 1-9, 2-8 against the spread the last time times they played. Of course, Ohio State has owned Penn State. They're only giving up 3.5, a very small number considering the history of this particular two plays. And I know you're really been high on Penn State. I know Kip not so much on Penn State. So can Penn State get the victory here as a small dog?
You teed it up for me. How did we do on the games Kip and I disagreed on the last couple of weeks? I think I'm like 5-0 for the record.
I wasn't going to mention it.
I am almost homeless supporting going against Penn State all year.
I will say I didn't bet anything on the side in this game. I actually, you'll be surprised because I've been Penn State's biggest defender on this show. I've really got to root for Ohio State here. Early in the year, I found some stale Ohio State to win the Big Ten prices. I thought it was a steal, so I bet it. Obviously, if they lose this game, they have no chance to win the Big Ten. I've only backed Penn State to make the playoff, and I think they're safe whether they win or lose here. So I'm hoping Ohio State can dig it out. To be honest, in my gut, I kind of feel like Penn State wins this game. I just feel like it's really close. Ohio State now, as I'm sure you've heard, it's been such a huge talk, but down to their third string left tackle. They were already crying about depth on their offensive line going into the year. I've just been impressed with Penn State, especially in second halves of these games. They don't always look great in the first half. I think they're extremely well coached. They just kind of come out and do their thing. The one thing I did bet here, and the number is gone, but it's creeping back up that way. I bet under 48. I think it's mostly 46.5 now, but there's going to be so much money on this game. Like you said, the game of the week, I do think it'll creep back up. And neither of these offenses have been as explosive as we would have expected. Like I said, Ohio State dealing with those injuries. I think the Drew Aller injury is probably blown out of proportion. This is another reason why I kind of like Penn State. I think they sat him because they had Ohio State next week. I don't think he's really hurt. That's part of the reason I like Penn State. But I still don't feel like this is going to be a big play game. I think it could be a little more cagey, something like 24-20, 24-21 either way. So numbers-wise, I make it right where it is. Gut-wise, I feel like Penn State wins, but I'm really hoping I'm wrong and Ohio State gets it done.
And Kip, they may be arresting Aller, but a lot of people don't realize this Ohio State defense is pretty good. They're number one in the Big Ten in sacks this season. So, you know, they're going to be firing away all day on Saturday. What's your thoughts on the biggest game, 3-4?
Well, no wonder they don't have any money to buy another offensive lineman. They spent $20 million on defensive guys. Yeah, they should be pretty good. I don't know. I held my nose thinking about this game because I don't think I've picked Ohio State in a game like this in years. But James Franklin, let's face it, he doesn't beat Ohio State and Michigan. I know every year is a new year. It's a new addition. It's different players, but just, you know, until James Franklin breaks through, people say that Lane Kiffin can't win a big game. Well, good grief. James Franklin, year after year, comes onto this stage and finds a way to lose every single year. So until he breaks through, I can't really support Penn State. It's a tough game for me, but I still have to say Ohio State is probably the play because they're also the more desperate team in this spot. They have to win this game or they'll have a second loss. Saddled to their record, and I think they're going to play with a sense of urgency and probably come out of Happy Valley with a win.
It may not be politically correct to say it's the world's largest cocktail party, but I think you need to be drunk to want to watch this game. Georgia and Florida, 9 of the last 10 games, double-digit victories. Of course, the Georgia Bulldogs have outscored Florida by 72 points the last three times they played, although Georgia's only 2-5 against the spread. Kai, really interested to see what you see in this particular game. I know it's always a fun game to watch, but this just ain't the Florida we're used to seeing, man.
No, and I think there's maybe a little bit of overreaction to Florida's win last week involved in this line. I think Georgia's much better than Kentucky, especially in the trenches. And I think that's where Georgia's going to control that. It's another game that I'm probably staying away from. I like a ton of games this week, but none of the ones we're talking about.
We'll get to them, brother.
We talk about these games. I understand that. It's just not the games I like. I mean, James Franklin's 1-12 against the top five in his career. Why in the world would you bet on him? You know, but at the same time, Penn State has two of the best running backs. That duo is very good.
They do.
Very good. And I think their backup quarterback may give Ohio State more trouble than Aller. And of course, I can't remember his name because we're talking about
Pribula.
But back to Florida and Georgia, I just think it's a trenches game. I think Georgia is better on the offensive and defensive line than Florida. I think Lagway can give Georgia some trouble, but they haven't had a ton of trouble except for one half with Milroe with a running quarterback all year.
Kip, this game's going to be moving to Atlanta next season. What do you see in the Florida-Georgia game?
Well, it's been played since 1936 at the neutral site, the stadium that until 10 years ago was called the Gator Bowl. Enough said. It's an hour from Gainesville. It's 4.5 hours from Athens. So it's about time that there's been some sensibility implied into this neutral field. Georgia has all the cards here. Georgia would have to beat themselves and make horrendous mistakes. And if you look at the Kirby Smart pattern in recent years, this is the time of year Georgia kicks it into another gear. It happened last year. Everybody was doubting Georgia. They went through that gauntlet of wins against Tennessee, Missouri, and Ole Miss, three consecutive weeks in games that everybody speculated they might trip up. They did stumble against Alabama because that gauntlet ended up costing them a lot of critical injuries, and they weren't 100%, and Alabama played their best game of the year. We all know the history. But I just think this is the time of year that Georgia really gets in gear. Mykel Williams being back on that defensive line is huge. This guy is a dominant force. He's in that same tradition of these Georgia defenses we've seen in recent years. Him and Brinson and all the gangs all here on defense for Georgia. Lagway is a tremendous freshman, but he's never seen anything like this.
That's true. Case, big ball game. Florida, Georgia. What is Vegas looking at today?
Well, I guess the betting market and I are a little bit different from everyone else here. I don't think they're going to win, but I like Florida plus the points a lot.
That's too many points.
A pretty big bet on Florida plus 17 earlier in the week. It's down to 14.5 this morning. So wow. we're hitting a lot of games this morning where the money is flying. And surprisingly, I have a lot of opinions on these. Usually I'm the one that wants later. This week it's Kai has no opinion, and I feel like I have a side on all these. I've kind of had a soft spot for Florida for some reason all year, and I think I've picked them all except one game, and it's mostly worked out for me. I just think reputation-wise, and everyone's so down on Billy Napier that at least these opening numbers early in the week, I just think they're a little inflated. I mean, both teams coming off a bye, to me, is an advantage for Florida, because I think every rep you can have with Lagway as the one is going to be good for him. I don't think he's a terrible matchup for Georgia's defense. I mean, yeah, how could you not be impressed with Georgia's defensive line against Texas? But we're talking about things that have only happened for a half. They've really only shown being at this level for a half. So I'd be pretty shocked if Georgia lost. But I'm kind of reverse you when you were saying this game's going to be a snooze fest or whatever. I was talking to a Florida friend this week, and I said I had no concerns that Florida would give them a scare the last several years. And this is the first year I'm like, okay, if Georgia's overlooking them a little bit or not buttoned up, I could see Florida hanging around. I think it's probably a 10 or 14 point game, but I would bet Florida here.
Okay, four
real
wins.
Quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick, Tony, I wish somebody would compute statistics in SEC league games of double digit or in the teens or higher favorites, what the percentage is. I guarantee you it's got to be shocking. I don't think big favorites in the SEC league games have covered hardly ever this year.
We can take a look at that and see if we can find that out. K4wins.com, K4wins.com. All right, Kai, you said you like a ton of games, just not the ones we were talking about. There were some of the big ones, but you don't have to bet on big ones to make big money. What do you like? Give me some games. Go.
Well, I mean, and some of these are big games to other people. You know, as a homer, I think Tennessee is in a get right situation. I just don't know. Just like we're talking about, if I could give up 17, but I think they'll probably get over 16.5 in the first half and over 31 for the game. I'd feel more comfortable about the game than the first half. but their last two games, they've had great drives to start the game, and they've had two straight fumbles when they're inside their opponent's 20 starting off. So I kind of like that. Gerald Mincy for Kentucky running his mouth, and then all of a sudden can't play. He's hurt. And I think Kentucky's beat up. And like we talked about earlier, before we're online with Kip, I'm not sure Kentucky just hasn't quit on Stoops. You know, last week, one of the games I really loved Navy's team totals in the first half and for the game. And I lose it because of six turnovers and a missed field goal. Mm-hmm. Good grief. I like Navy to get back right this week. I think Rice does have a decent defense, but I think Navy and Horvath, I think he's going to take last week personally. I mean, no mention of him hurting that thumb on his throwing hand until right before game. They kept that secret. Clearly, they don't have the SEC rules. I don't think they have six turnovers and a missed field goal this week. I really like Navy at least to get over their team total and their first half team total, in that game and probably handle the 10, 10 and a half, 11 against Rice. You know, I'm sure tomorrow morning Legend will be talking about, you know, Army. I like Army in this situation again. I think both teams are going to give up some points, maybe get over the 41. I like Duke's team total over against Miami. You know, Miami does not play great defense. Duke, don't get me wrong, they're not great. Both defenses are meh. Duke's defense, I think, is better. But Miami has been escaping, and you might even look at a back door there if that line gets up to 21 or 21 and a half. I think it was at 20. I'm not sure why Minnesota's favored against Illinois. I like this Illinois team. I think it's get right. They've got three wins over ranked teams, you know, like there. There's so many more games we could talk about. Indiana and Michigan State, loving Indiana in that one. K-State, Houston, UCLA, Nebraska, Pitt and SMU we hadn't talked about. There's so many games. But, come hop on the website, go to k4wins.com and see all our plays. Because I'm probably going to have 15 plays tomorrow, and I hate playing that many games.
It's okay if we go 15 or no. Kip, what do you like?
Well, I'm going to say on the starting lineup this week, Kai just touched on it. Florida State is absolutely dreadful. They were a 22-point dog at Miami last week. Duke has only lost twice, and they didn't really lose last week. They beat themselves. They completely screwed up the end of the SMU game and let it get away. And props to Case for saying early in the year that SMU coming in has probably got as good a roster as anybody in the ACC, and that's proven out, so I wanted to point that out. But Duke's getting the same amount of points that Florida State got last week. I think that's crazy. I think this is a better team. I agree with Kai. I think Duke's going to score. I think this gets back to the Miami track meet kind of games. Miami will win, but I can't believe that Duke is the same line as Florida State, because I think Duke would wipe them out if they played tomorrow. That's one of them. The other game, I've been kind of high on this team, and I've been right about them a couple times when there's been disagreement, but I think the Iowa Hawkeyes are a lot better than a lot of people give them credit for. They still play great defense, and their offense can actually score a few points. They're playing Wisconsin, who, once again, I thought I drank the Wisconsin Powerade. Here, I got to get a shameless plug in. I drank the Wisconsin Powerade last week and thought they were in a prime spot to upset Penn State. Penn State looking ahead to the Ohio State game. At halftime, it looked good. Wisconsin was barely up. Penn State did what they always do and get their ship together. I did say ship together in the second half and came out and won. So I'm back to being down on Wisconsin. They're a phony. I really like Iowa, and they're only what, 3.5 or 4. So I'm going to give the points there and take the Hawkeyes.
I've looked at a couple of SEC games. We mentioned South Carolina. I like South Carolina plus the 2.5, maybe the 3. Is like Kay said, wait till it gets to 3. I do like the Auburn Tigers minus the 6, 6.5. You can get it under 7. I think it's going to be good. USC's got a very interesting game this weekend against Washington. No one's really talking about this game. Lincoln Riley 2-8 is a road favorite on these games. Not doing a good. And of course, Wash has been doing with defense, but USC scored 33 points a ball game their last three games. Miller Moss, 16 touchdowns, 6 picks. And of course, Woody Marks, 8 touchdowns, and he's only played in 6 games. I'm liking USC in this game. I think they give up the 2 points. I think they're getting better and better. They've lost 4 total games this year by a total of 14 points. They're not losing by much. I'm going to take USC minus the 2. I do like Pitt. plus the 7 against SMU. I think it's just too much. I see that line more like 4, 4.5. So I'm surprised. I'll take Pitt plus the 7. They are 6
undefeated against, Pitt.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
And then they're
nobody,
playing.
Nobody knows that
they're playing for their ACC lives. Of course, Clemson's sitting over there. They got one loss, and everyone's talking about who's Clemson going to play. Hold on a second. Pittsburgh's playing some pretty good ball as well. And then there's only one team in college football who has not covered a game all year long, and that is your Air Force. They are 0-7 against the spread. They're catching 23.5. It's the largest spread in the service academies in 21 years. They're coming off a bye week. They have played 37 different players this year. They don't have what they're doing. They're finally getting healthy. I think they can finally set the bye week and they can go ahead and reset their entire team. I think possessions are going to be incredibly limited because of the way they both run the football. And since 2005, academies that are dogs of 3 or more touchdowns are 19-5-1 against the spread.
That's a good stat.
I'm going to take Air Force plus the 20. If I get a 24.5, I'm going to take Air Force all day long on it. So I'm like a South Carolina, Pitt, USC, Auburn, and Air Force. Case, what do you like? What's going on?
Hey, remember, Army and Indiana, the only two teams that have not trailed this year.
That's amazing. Wow, what a
they both cover spreads every game.
Yeah, well, I'm on the same sides as some of you guys said. I will say Wisconsin and Washington have both taken a little money this morning. However, I'm on the other side with you guys. I like USC and Iowa. I mean, Iowa, Cade McNamara is hurt now, and that's the best thing that could happen to them. I think Braden Sullivan, the new quarterback, is just a much better fit for this offense. So the Wisconsin money this morning kind of scares me, but I like Iowa. Usually it's Kip I have to pick on here and say, oh, I really disagree with you on this game. But I had one game called up to talk about, and it's actually opposite Tony this week. I really like SMU minus 7. It's kind of a theme of the show. We've been talking about turnover luck and how that's played in. I guess I saw the Duke SMU game a little differently than Kip too. I know Duke maybe had it on a tee at the end, but SMU minus 6 in turnovers and still wins.
Yeah.
I mean, they
that's insane. Just insane.
I think that kind of sloppy performance, if anything's going to revert you back to the mean and not have you given the ball away as much, I think it'd be that. And Pittsburgh, on the other hand, has been the luckiest turnover team in the nation. I mean, it's just every single week they're spinning the slot machine and it comes up all 7s. Last week, 3 pick sixes in the first half. I think their fumble recovery percentage, which is the most flukiest play in football. I mean, anyone can recover a fumble. Over time, it's going to regress to 50-50. I think they're almost at 80% this year. So I just look at, the different turnover fortunes. To me, you flip some of these fumbles, some of these interceptions, and these teams look drastically different on the year. Sure. I will say that there hasn't been much Mustangs money. I bet it at minus 7 early in the week. It's still there. So clearly there's some resistance. Someone is with Tony and likes Pitt too. But the one big bet that we hadn't talked about yet is I like SMU minus 7 a lot.
SMU
minus 7. SMU's first time at home in over a month.
Yeah. We got about 2 minutes left here. Anybody got any NFL plays that are dropping out too? Case, we'll start with you.
I like the Chargers Browns game over. Both these offenses kind of trending upwards with Jameis Winston coming in, and the Chargers have been great on offense the last few weeks. I don't think people realize because they're not getting in the end zone that should change. Just since that's the game on top of my mind, I like the Chargers probably to win there too. We have a better sample size of Justin Herbert and this offense trending up, but I think maybe it's a sneaky shootout, maybe close to 50, and the Chargers win in the end.
Kip and Kai, looking forward to Sunday. Anything sticking out to you?
I like the Packers, the Falcons, and the Seahawks. I'll Packers, keep it Falcons, at that.
Seahawks. All right. And Kai, anything?
I love that famous Jameis is playing again. I hate the situation that came in, but I think they get over their 20.5 team total. And I'm total opposite. I think Dallas is going to get right in Atlanta and bring it home.
Yeah, there's people that bought it up to 6 this past game in that game. I was like, I'm just tired of looking at Dallas on paper. I'm tired of looking at Dallas on paper because on paper, this team looks like they should cover every single game and they just show up and they lay an egg and somehow they backdoor it and get the push. I don't know. Great show, guys. K4wins.com. 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 Check it out. It's a free site. You get all of our plays, everything we just went through on this show. You can check out all those plays. Check them out. It's fantastic. And we'll see if we can improve on our 62%. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Till next week.
See you guys.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.